thank God for second chances. There's an old song, I thank God that he didn't throw the clay away. As we begin to prepare to look at the book of Acts here in a couple weeks, I want to look at a couple of characters that play a prime role in the book of Acts. And as I begin to think and to pray and to study, the name Paul came to my mind. He plays the major role in the book of Acts. And so instead of beginning at the beginning of his ministry, I want to look at the very end of it. This was a man who took advantage of a second chance. This was a man who used to kill Christians. They didn't call them Christians at the very beginning. They said of the way. He hunted people that were of the way. He hunted them down. He persecuted them. He put them in jail. He killed Christians. He killed people of the way. He despised anybody who trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And when you begin to look at his life in the book of Acts, as we'll eventually get to, you get to see a despicable, horrible human being at the beginning. And you look at his life and you look at the things he was doing and you think, how in the world could God forgive that? That'd be like somebody coming in these back doors or these side doors and putting machine gun and killing every single one of us and then going down to a church down the street and getting saved. And you think, how is that possible? It's not possible by human means. It's possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm not asking somebody to go out and start murdering people and then go in and getting saved. But I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, my friends, in this very room right now, that Jesus can save to the uttermost. Jesus is the God of second chances. Because I firmly believe that I'm speaking to people, and I'm speaking to myself, who need a second chance at times. Another chance, a new beginning, an opportunity to take what's been wrong and made right. It's not too late. My Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But I thank God there's not a period there. For the wages of sin is death, but what happens after that? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me show you a couple of verses that I want to show you before we get into 2 Timothy. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Now we know that Paul didn't write 1 John, but let me show you something here. 1 John chapter number 1. Go towards the end of your Bible. Revelation, go to back to Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. This is not St. John, the fourth gospel. This is the first epistle of John towards the end of the New Testament, if you're looking for it. 1 John chapter number 1. And I want us to look at verse number 4. We're going to start there. John writes, he says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, speaking of Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. Is that what your Bible says? All unrighteousness. Every single jot and tittle, every single thought, word, or deed, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us, given us another opportunity to live for him. And all we have to do is trust that. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let's stop living like we're dead. Let's stop going through the motions. Let's stop putting other things in priority in our lives. Let's stop living like there is no God. Let's start living like we've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, showing our children, showing our grandchildren, showing our neighbors and our co-workers and our county and our city and our state, showing them that Jesus Christ saves. Let's stop resting and start living, because we've been forgiven. I am free. Anybody else free in here this morning? The blood has made us free. And when Paul looked back, and you see it several times in the epistles, where he looks back and he remembers what he was, he says, "Thank you, God, you saved my sorry soul." He recounts it over several times. He recounts it how he used to persecute the church. He recounts it how he used to kill Christians. He recounts it and goes over and over again. And then he says, "I thank God that that's not held to my account anymore." I know that several times, and preachers have preached this over and over and over again, that what's going to be like when you get to heaven, when the film of your life is played? Are you going to be shamed by the sins that you committed? Brothers and sisters, may I tell you that that's a lie. There's not going to be a film of our life. You know what God's going to show us? The blood of Jesus Christ. We've been covered in it. We're living in it. Praise God, I'm bound for heaven, not because of what I've done or not done, but because of what Jesus has done. Live in that this morning. Stop making excuses for why you don't serve him, and start looking for reasons to serve him. Go to 2 Timothy now, if you would, with me. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Now, we see and we've heard that these are the last words that Paul wrote. May I tell you something? We don't know that this is the last thing that he wrote. We know that it's the last thing we hear in the Bible of him writing. I can't emphasize this enough, that Paul wrote more than just these epistles. He wrote many, many, many letters. Not just these, but God chose to put these in the canon of Scripture. He said, "This is what I want to put in my word." He inspired these particular words. And so this morning, I want us to look at some of the last words that God inspired Paul to write. He says here in verse number 1 of chapter number 4 of 2 Timothy, he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." He says, "Timothy, I want you to do this. I urge you to do this. Timothy, here's what you've been put on earth to do. Timothy, this is what the blood of Christ has enabled you to do. Timothy, do these things." He says, "Because remember that Jesus Christ is going to be our judge. Remember, Jesus Christ is the one who's going to judge us. So do it for his sake." He's not saying do it for my sake. He's saying doing it for the blood of Jesus, his sake. Brothers and sisters, can I help you with something this morning? I'm very concerned about the state of Christianity. We're doing things and not doing things based upon personalities. We're doing things and not doing things based upon our like or dislike for human beings. May I tell you,
What we do and why we do it and how we do it ought to be because of what Jesus Christ has done, not because of what mankind has done. God has put Victory Baptist Church on this place for this season to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. He has given us ministries, the Manna ministry, the nursery ministry, the Awana ministry, the youth ministry, the Elevation 412. He's given us the ladies ministry, the men's ministry. He's given us all types of opportunities to serve God in this place. And if God has placed you in this place, I firmly believe that you ought to be involved in one of those ministries. Wow, it's quiet in here. Brothers and sisters, you've been given a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. As we've learned on Wednesday nights, this past Wednesday night particularly, that God's mercy endureth forever. Because of that, let's live for Him. And Paul is saying, Timothy, look at here. I'm charging you. I'm encouraging you. Here's what I want you to do with the thought and process in your mind that Jesus has died for you. He says this, verse number 2, he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach the word. Now, I know some people say, well, Brother Brian, that means for pastors only. Only pastors, that's what we've hired you and Todd and Tanner to do. You're to preach the word. We're to come on Sunday morning and sit and let you preach at us and then we go home. No, absolutely not. I am not a hired gun. No. I'm to preach the word and so are you. Now, does that mean you take your Bible and go down on Everett Street and hold it up and start screaming and hollering? Well, if you want to. You tell others about Jesus. You tell others about the second chance He gave you. You tell others about the third chance He gave you. You say, hey, Jesus saved me in spite of me. You live it. You love people. Preach the word. Live the word. Teach the word. Being a Christian is not just about coming in here on Sunday mornings and then going home. Being a Christian is about loving people and showing them Jesus Christ 24/7. Paul is in a prison writing these words. Realizing, understand that very soon he's going to be beheaded. Now the Bible doesn't tell us how he dies. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't even address Paul's death. But down through tradition has told us that he was taken outside of the city and he was beheaded for his faith. He was killed because he preached Jesus. So he's encouraging Timothy, saying, Timothy, I'm getting ready to die. And Timothy, I don't want you to focus on what I used to do before I trusted Jesus. I don't want to focus on what I did before the blood covered me. I want you to focus on what I've done since then. Let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. How many of you are glad that the blood has covered all your sin, never to be revealed again? So if that's the case, why are we holding that against each other? Why are we judging one another based on what we did in the past? If God's not doing it, why should we do it? Amen? Preach the word, he says. And then he says, I want you to be instant in season and out of season. You know what that means? He says, listen, I want you to be prepared to do it when it's good and when it's bad. When it's raining and when it's sunny. when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. When you're in the shop and it's just two of you, when you're in a shop and it's the whole store full. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it, preach the word. Take every opportunity. Because here it is, brothers and sisters, listen to me, please. This is vital. It's not just about Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle of judgment. We don't have to fear the hammer because we have the blood. And because we have the blood, we can therefore live the life that God intends us to do. Telling others about what Jesus Christ has done. And Paul says, Timothy, I want you to do this. Now, I can know some of you say, Brother Brian, I can't speak very well in public. I can't even get up and give my testimony. I couldn't lead in silent prayer in the nursery, Brother Brian. That's how backwards I am. Now, don't raise your hands. But I understand that. I've told you before, when I was in school, I would not give a book report out loud. I said to tell the teacher, I'll take the F. My grades reflected that. But I have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to live for Him. You may not be able to preach a message. You may never be able to pray out loud. But you can do something for Him. You can live the gospel. A track, helping on Thursdays, helping down in the nursery, teaching at Sunday school, coming to Sunday school, praying, giving, doing, not sitting and soaking and souring. Amen? All right, Brother Brian, I've had enough. Okay. And then he says this, I want you to reprove, I want you to rebuke, I want you to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know what it means, long-suffering? You just do it, whether people want to hear it or not. Because not everybody wants to hear the truth. Not everybody can stand the truth. Jack Nicholson said it so good, he says, you can't stand the truth. We can't. It hurts and it's hard. But do it with long suffering. But here's the key. Look at what it says. And doctrine. This is going to get me in trouble with my preacher friends, but that's okay. I do not want you to do and live according to my standards. Because my standards are my standards. And I try to live according to what the Bible teaches me to do. But there are certain things that I don't believe that God wants me to do. But I am not about to tell you how to live your life according to the doctrine of Brian Schuller. S-C-H-U-L-E-R. I spelled it the right way. I want you to live according to the doctrine of God's word. That's what I want you to do. Because when I disagree with God's word, guess who is wrong? I am. So many churches and so many ministries are built upon the personality of the pastor or the leader. I want Victory Baptist Church to be based upon the word of God and our leader, not this leader. It's dangerous when a man is lifted high above God's word. I'm going to preach and I'm going to teach and I'm going to example the doctrine of the Bible, not thus saith Brian Shuler. Amen? But guess what? You do the same thing. You don't hold other people to your standards. Don't hold other people to what you think is right and wrong. Teach and preach what this says. Let God take care of the rest. And all God's people said, amen. So then, Brother Brian, how should we do it? I'm so glad you asked that. In love. Showing it in love. If somebody's doing something that you think is wrong, check the Bible. And if it's obvious that it's against what the Bible says, lovingly go to that person and do it the way the Bible says to do it. Not dialing on the cell phone, or on Facebook, or Instagram, or Telegram. They don't use those anymore. Lovingly tell them what the Bible says. Amen. All right. Verse number 3. Why do this? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned in unto fables. When I begin to teach and tickle your itching ears, then it's time for me to go. Amen. If you're listening to somebody on the television or on the radio that just tickles your ears and makes you feel good all the time, and their smile is a dazzling white smile, and they're asking you to send $20 and they have $10,000 on their wrist, you ought not to follow that person. Amen? We do not need teachers that please everybody. We need people living for Jesus Christ according to what the Word of God says. Amen. Because your own lusts will lead you to destruction. Your own lusts will destroy your family. Your own lusts will destroy everybody around you. For when sin is conceived, it's conceived in the heart. And then it comes forth in your actions. And your actions lead to death. Every single time. I am a product of a divorced home. I don't shame my parents because they did what they did. I don't blame my life on what my parents did because I make my own choices. But the destruction that it reaped upon our family is still rearing its ugly head right now. But that doesn't mean I have to live the same way. Put a stop to it. Brothers and sisters, we can live godly in this ungodly generation. Let's not have itching ears. Let's have listening ears. Amen. Verse number 5, he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He says, listen, I have done what God has wanted me to do. I've been beaten. I've been put in jail. I've been all these kind of things done to me over and over and over again. He says, but listen, I never gave up. He does not say I was perfect. Because if you read in the book of Romans, you see his struggle. particularly chapter number 7 and chapter number 6, where he says, listen, I don't do what I want to do, and there's times I do what I don't want to do. It's a struggle, he says. He says, but I endured with the power of Jesus Christ because I have done what he has told me to do. If you today were to write your last words, and somebody was going to come behind you and they were going to read the legacy of what you've written down, what would you write down? I served when it was convenient. As long as I was getting accolades, I did it. I couldn't serve anymore because I messed up. Or would you simply say, I praise God for the blood of Jesus who allowed me to serve? Let me help you out with something else. This is free, not included in the sermon. Let me help you out with something. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. Don't lift yourself and say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that, and this person and this family has it all together. And if you begin digging into other lives, you'll start seeing the cracks. You'll start seeing the errors and the problems. You just simply live for Jesus as he has called you to do. Finish well. Finish well. If you died today, how will you be remembered? You say, Brother Brian, it wouldn't be a good memory. Well, guess what? You can change that. Just live for him. Because guess what? He doesn't remember the past. The past is done. You can't fix it. All you can do is live for him today. And when you wake up tomorrow, live for him tomorrow. Do what he has told you to do on a daily basis. Paul said, I'm ready to die. How about you? I'm ready to die. Now, if they're taking a busload today, I don't necessarily want to jump on. But if it's my day, okay. But I want to live so that others may live too. I would say, let's all stand and put our hands in the circle and go, 1, 2, 3, victory! But instead of that, how about let's do this? Heavenly Father, forgive me for not doing what you've wanted me to do. Help me to do what you want me to do and serve you to the best of what you've given to me. Stop dwelling on the past. Start living for today. That's what Paul says. Timothy, it ain't over yet, buddy. Do it as long as you can. Because there's come a time when you're not going to be able to do it no more. So here it is. We're done. Don't hang your heads in shame. You're covered in the blood. You've been given another opportunity. Thank God. Serve God so that others may see God. Thank God, serve God, so that others may see God. That makes sense? Let's all stand together this morning. That's what Paul lived. That's what Paul taught. That's what Paul preached. Let us be like Paul. Now, this morning, I know there's imperfection in this room, because you know how I know that? Because I'm here. I'm imperfect. But I praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ, which makes me righteous in God's eyes. If you are that way this morning, thank God for it. But maybe this morning that's not the case. Maybe this morning you've been trying to be good, and maybe this morning you have failed and failed and failed. May I can tell you that God loves you, and He's given you the solution, the blood of Jesus, to make you clean. Maybe you've not received that yet. Maybe you've not turned your life over to God and said, God, I need Jesus as my Savior. I'm tired of doing it on my own. Won't you surrender today? But maybe you have surrendered, but you're struggling. Maybe you've gotten to the point where you can't do it no more and you're tired of failing. Won't you come to Him and say, oh God, help me to live for You. If we confess our sins, the Bible says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's live in that today. Let's live in the blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. You know the needs. You know the precious blood of Jesus has covered us. But Lord, there's some precious souls that don't have that precious blood today. They know it, You know it, and they need salvation. I pray that today, where they're standing at this very moment, they would say, God, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life and be my Savior. I pray they would do that. You're the only hope we have. Help us to live for You today. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Dan's going to begin singing. Altar's open. But more importantly, God's ears are open to you today.